Harry Reid admits the health care bill will cost $2 trillion. Say what? I thought we were getting a bargain. When push came to shove, he coughed up the figure he really thought that it would be in 10 years. A new poll shows 43% of Americans, at least those polled, would vote to elect the president for a second term, but just 43%. Also, nail the score coming up in our third hour. Don't forget, we have awesome prizes to give away on America Tonight, again in our third hour. Here's how it works. Our computer randomly picks the game of the week in the NFL. You don't have to know anything. You don't have to know jack about football. You just call in, pick which team you think is going to win and what you think the final score will be. You'll win a cell phone, movie tickets. You'll also get gift certificates for all kinds of food joints across the United States. It's good, good stuff. Trust me. And coming up in another 10 minutes, we're going to talk to somebody who has an interesting thing to say about project labor agreements that the Obama administration is pushing, particularly in New Hampshire, and it looks like it could spread to other states as well. What does it mean? In the construction business, you got to be unionized. But what does that do to the people in New Hampshire with companies where they really don't have very many unions? That means a lot of people will be out of work and out of luck. Strange thing happened today. I was kicking back on the couch for a few minutes, flipped on the tube, started to look around at various news programs, and I saw this giant balloon, kind of like a mushroom-looking balloon, flying around. And I turned up the volume. Turns out, oh, the six-year-old must be in here. It was a balloon that was in his backyard and became, and we're talking about a big balloon. And it was not what you would normally think. It was, in other words, it was silver and it looked like a mushroom. And you could see that the door was sort of open. So I was listening to all these anchors because I flipped around to hear it. It was like almost play-by-play coverage. Ooh, we hope the six-year-old's going to be okay, and now we're bringing in this expert and that expert. And now it could all be a hoax. It turns out the family, number one, was featured on Wife Swap. Apparently, they're big-time science-y nerds and like to do a lot of experiments. So why they had this helium balloon in their backyard in the first place, in a backyard that wasn't that big, that became untethered, who knows? Then one little boy ran in the house to say, oh, the six-year-old brother was there. He was in the craft. And so, you know, almost for 2 hours, you had helicopters, the Air Force was getting involved, you had people on the ground following, and poof, finally it lands, no kid inside. Then they're thinking, I was watching Wolf Blitzer, and they were thinking the six-year-old flew out of the balloon, you know, which he would probably have died at how high up this balloon was, right? And it turns out, no, he was instead huddled somewhere in the garage. In fact, this flying saucer thing was an experimental, basically, vehicle, balloon, whatever you want to call it. That's how it was shaped. And it just drifted away from the backyard in Fort Collins, but it was a media frenzy. I mean, the reports were unbelievable about Falcon Henny and would he be all right, the six-year-old, and, you know, his father must have built this and he must have climbed inside and all that other sort of stuff. So anyway, Richard Henny, the father, naturally, once they found the six-year-old, there was media all over the place, so he came out and talked about it.
Sure enough, he got in, but obviously he got out, so we don't know. He says he's hiding in the attic, and because I yelled at him, and I'm really sorry I yelled at him.
Yeah, so, see, everybody thought he was inside, so you had this massive response, like I said, international media coverage, helicopters, all that sort of stuff, trying to analyze whether they could hook up with the balloon and what they were going to do. But once it crashed and he wasn't inside, then it took a different turn. So they found him, he was fine, and then it becomes, is this incident a hoax? Was it just some crazy hoax that they designed? Because they were tinkering with the balloon earlier in the day, and like I said, apparently it became untethered somehow. But was that on purpose, or was it just an accident? You have to ask yourself that. What was wild was all the coverage. And then you have people like Rick Sanchez on CNN. Oh, God bless this boy. I hope he's going to be okay. Oh, boy. And turns out the self-described amateur scientist daddy, who was part of Wife Swap, had this balloon that was a 3D lab, they call it, and it's kind of an experimental, futuristic, low-altitude thing that hovers above the ground at an elevation of 50 to 100 feet. But they thought at times it was a lot higher than that, and that was the concern about the dangers, because they had heard that the brother was inside. So right away, everybody's chasing all over the place. You're talking about thousands. At one point, they thought it was 15,000 feet. So the panic really, really, really set in. And this family, interesting, was last on Wife Swap in March. And apparently, I never watched that show. It was the show's 100th episode, and they were big-time favorites. And I don't know. They switch families up, the mothers and the families. So they have different attitudes and lifestyles. So apparently, this family is good at getting publicity, whether it's on purpose or by accident. Who knows? But it just seemed a little bit fishy to me. And a lot of coverage went their way. I mean, hey, it could have just got untethered when the boys were playing with it, but whatever. I think it's the blunder of the day. The blunder of the day, because so much time was spent on it. All right, here's the other thing, and it's a complete left-hand turn from what we were just talking about, but Harry Reid, who had the floor, Senator Harry Reid from Nevada, suggested, and I was stunned when I heard this, that the health care costs might go to $2 trillion, because he was saying there would be $54 billion saved every year if we put caps on medical malpractice and some restrictions and tort reform and all that other sort of stuff. But then when he was talking about it, he said, you know, sounds like a lot of money, but remember, we're talking about $2 trillion, you know, et cetera. And if you can do the math, we can all do the math. It's just a small percent. So he was manipulating the whole idea about malpractice and other restrictions and how much would that be. But it was interesting, even uttering the words $2 trillion. Yeah. Because it comes from the CBO, you know, that little budget office on the Hill, the Congressional Budget Office, saying how much would be saved with the caps on the tort reform, et cetera. So he's right. You do the math, and it adds up to clearly what we've been saying all along, not the numbers we keep hearing. Oh, hooray, Senator Max Baucus, we've saved so much money, we're not going to have any sort of a deficit. And we'll go back to the estimate theory again. The estimate, I think, is way off, bogus. And ultimately, when it's said and done, you're going to have to reach deeper into your pockets. That's the bottom line. Hey, coming up next, interesting guest. Very excited to talk about something that's kind of under the wire for a lot of people. It's called the Project Labor Agreement, right? And what it is, it's on the U.S. Department of Labor's construction project in Manchester, New Hampshire. There's a chance that this could be spread and this procedure could become a law across the country. So all of you in the construction industry or who try to make a living in that industry, sit up and pay attention. We're going to talk about forcing non-union workers to pay union dues. Stay tuned.
see what spring is like on Jupiter.
Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, Coast to Coast and everywhere in between here on America Tonight. We've talked about this before, the Employee Free Choice Act. You know how I feel about that. Well, guess what? There's something else I have a feeling many of you who call me aren't going to be too thrilled about. If it comes your way in the next couple of months, if it should become a law across the country, we'll see what happens in New Hampshire. Check this out. Have you heard of the Project Labor Agreement? Yeah, you need to know what it's about, the PLA. We're talking about workers being forced to pay union benefits that, yeah, guess what, they really didn't want to have to pay, right? Also, competition being strangled, especially when we're talking about people struggling to keep their heads above water, as we know. And here's what the deal is. Right now, that PLA is coming on display, or we'll see it in all its glory, if you will, a better way to say that, on the U.S. Department of Labor construction project in Manchester, New Hampshire, and a lot of people in New Hampshire not happy. Pleased to welcome to the show Brett McMahon. He is a rep of the Associated Builders and Contractors and, of course, VP of his own company, Miller & Long Concrete Construction, based in Bethesda, Maryland. Brett, thanks for hanging late with us on ATN.
Thank you. My pleasure.
First of all, explain what happened here with somehow this kind of fell under the wire, the Project Labor Agreement, and explain how this all took place in New Hampshire.
Well, it's actually the result of a presidential executive order, which executive order number 13502 that President Obama signed back actually in February, kind of a late Friday afternoon thing you did then, and it's taken a while for it to actually get to the point where it can be used for government procurement because there's a rulemaking process and all those things. And so this first project here in New Hampshire, it's a Jobs Corps Center for the U.S. Department of Labor has been issued, and that's kind of given us our first opportunity to see if we can legally fight this, because it is a huge, puts everybody who's not necessarily a member of a union in a huge disadvantage.
Yeah, wouldn't it, I'm thinking off the top of my head, knowing people in construction and knowing a couple people that actually own companies, this would, I would think, drive up costs. I would think there's a chance, because it's so vital that projects get done on time, that there might be some delays in those projects, and more importantly, you've got these workers who are going to have to pay union dues and the pension contributions as well, and they might not ever see those benefits, which is a terrible thing, and is something that, of course, who's got the change to do that, and I think that's part of the problem. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, very much so, actually. The contrary to what a lot of people think, construction itself is very much a non-union industry. 84% of construction workers in the United States do not belong to a union. And under this type of project labor agreement, which, by the way, is only legal in construction, the requirement is that you actually utilize union workers through a union hiring hall system. And even if you use someone who is not necessarily a member of a union, they still have to pay dues and are required to pay into every variety of pension or health care plan in addition to what they might already be getting through their original employer. But you're required to pay in during the duration of the project. And as you said, unfortunately, they'll never see those because they'll never be on a project long enough to become fully vested.
Yeah, boy, and that's the key thing there. And don't they all know it, of course. You know it in running a company, and you know it when you're going from site to site. And now, specifically in New Hampshire, too, in talking about the percentages there, I guess what happens is, since it has to fall under that, if with this mandate, the danger is that where are you going to find all these workers that are going to, first of all, where are you going to find them all that are unionized, but then also are you going to have to reach out around the borders to try to get enough people to complete the project? I would think that could be a problem, too.
Well, absolutely. So, I mean, New Hampshire is bad enough. At eight, I think there's about just under 9% of construction workers in New Hampshire are union members, but they also threw in, originally they had a prerequisite in the bidding instructions that said that you had to have done at least three prior projects with project labor agreements on them, which, according to Senator Jed Gregg from New Hampshire, would have excluded every single contractor in the state of New Hampshire because no one would have fit the bill. But it's even worse in a place, you know, the first time they try and do this in something like North Carolina or Georgia or Florida, where literally you would find maybe 1% of construction workers in those places belong to unions. So I don't know how they plan on building something in Fort Bragg or, you know, something like that. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and you know this because we should say this. You're the largest employer of construction workers in the Mid-Atlantic region. And if this spreads all the way down, in other words, kicks into effect for the other states, obviously that would affect you. What are you doing, Brett, to – obviously you're talking to the media and stuff, but what else are you doing to try to make raise the awareness for this and try to not see this happen with Maryland and the other states?
Well, it does actually affect every other state. It's a federal order, so it will affect every construction project contract in excess of $25 million, which is actually going to end up being the majority of construction projects that are federally procured. But so what we're doing is we are taking it to a legal battle. Right now we've filed an action with the General Accounting Office through a older statute that allows that based on the way they actually tried to procure this particular job. But I think we'll end up going up through the court system trying to reverse this. And just because the president signs an executive order doesn't mean that it's not that you're not able to fight it in the courts.
Now, and you know the argument for this, because I'm sure you've heard it a million times. They'll say, well, you know, you're trying to suppress the wages and you're forcing people out of the construction industry. What do you shoot back when you're asked that?
Well, number one, all federal procurements have a standardized wage system anyway, using something known as Davis-Bacon wages or wage determination factor, which really takes that issue kind of right off the table. And then, you know, the simple fact is that 84% of construction workers have chosen that to not join the union. So those people are excluded. It's really, their arguments for this really fall very, very short. It's it's kind of an old fashioned extortion racket, frankly. They, claim that there would be labor strife if they didn't get this. Well, they're the only ones causing labor strife, so I'm quite sure why anybody would fall for that anymore. It's not really, you know, this isn't the 70s, it isn't the 60s. It really doesn't matter anymore.
Brett, do you find that other people are trying to join the, join the fray? In other words, maybe there might see some other suits and whatnot, because of course, the more you see that bubble up in other states, maybe there'd be a chance, you'd have a good shot to win the fight.
Well, we sure hope so. I mean, there's a lot of other contractor associations. I mean, construction is a very large industry, and it does affect a lot of people. We think it should affect, you know, should concern people of every part of our industry, whether they're architects down to suppliers. And hopefully, you know, we'll get as many allies as we can and put up quite a unified front. But frankly, this administration is as friendly to organized labor as any that we've ever come across. So
yeah, boy, I agree with that.
It's going to be an uphill battle.
Yeah, no kidding. So project labor agreements, and as we were just talking here with Brett, remember this, it's Obama's executive order 13502, and it makes the procedure law across the country. So we'll keep an eye on this fight. Brett, thanks for coming on with us. Can we check in with you down the road and see how it's going?
Anytime. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for hanging late. All right.
Thank you.
Coming up, we're going to talk more about unions a little bit later in this show. It's a great question. I mean, are unions the evildoers? And in the case of construction, it's interesting because, as I just asked Brett, a lot of people would shoot back with, as I said, well, maybe you're leaving people out, and that's the idea of the union, and what about the illegals and whatnot. But he talked about he talked about the wage thing. And ultimately, when people are on these jobs, they can't get vested. So the idea of paying into the pension is money that just goes into the union's coffers and they don't see it anyway. You might have a different point of view or you might agree with Brett. You can definitely throw in your 2 cents at 800-259-5791. I'll meet you in 3 here on ATN.
When you're ready to purify your family's drinking water
and save money,
when you're ready to remove contaminants like chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, pharmaceutical drugs, and even iron and rust from your water
and save money,
when you're ready to enjoy crisp, clean water
and save money,
go to purewaterfreedom.com.
How much will you save at purewaterfreedom.com?
Our competition sells fluoride filters between $150 and $200. Our price, $99. They sell reverse osmosis systems for $600. Our under-sink reverse osmosis system is only $249. PureWaterFreedom.com offers state-of-the-art water filters for every application for home or office, and our whole-house fluoride water filters include a 10-year warranty and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get details today at PureWaterFreedom.com or speak to a water purification specialist by calling 1-866-757-7644. That's 1-866-757-7644. Now the best filtered water in the world comes at the best price at PureWaterFreedom.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2-sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
If you currently owe back taxes to the IRS or state, this special announcement is for you. Tax authorities are now accepting settlements, and you can resolve your tax debt for a fraction of what you owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, now is the time to act before it's too late. We're the Rely On Group, and our tax resolution experts are here to help you right now. Many of our tax experts are former IRS agents. They know how to legally and permanently resolve your tax problems and make sure you don't pay a dime more than you have to. Call now to immediately remove tax liens, eliminate tax penalties, and end wage garnishments. If you owe back taxes to the IRS or state, call us for free information about how you can legally settle your tax liabilities and save thousands of dollars. Call now. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944.
For years, doctors and researchers have known that one of the major pathways to better health is an alkaline diet rich in minerals and antioxidants to keep the body in proper pH balance. For 15 years, people have trusted AlkaZone, the simplest way of keeping the body in pH balance, getting rid of acidic waste buildup, and boosting the immune system through antioxidant support. AlkaZone's unique formula contains potassium, magnesium, calcium, zinc, and the antioxidant selenium, along with 79 trace minerals from ancient marine deposits. Unlike other products, AlkaZone is odorless and tasteless and can be added to any beverage to offset its acidity. AlkaZone also manufactures antioxidant water fountains that will both filter and raise the pH of the tap water in your home to a pH of 10. To learn more and to place your order for a 45-day supply for only $25, visit AlkaZone.com. That's AlkaZone.com. Use coupon code RADIO and receive a limited-time discount. Call AlkaZone today at 1-800-810-1888. That's 1-800-810-1888.
coming up, we're going to take a look at the movies. Maybe this is the week to go or the weekend. Big kids movie. I think that's going to be a huge smash. It's a book that almost every child has, I think, at least in modern times, has read, called Where the Wild Things Are. And there's another movie coming out called Law Abiding Citizens and The Stepfather, too, that looks kind of creepy, the stepfather movie. But we'll get to that in just a few. First, a couple of the headlines, some breaking news that I've just learned about. And it has to do with, of course, a bomb exploding in a Pakistani city. There's not many more details other than to say that a bomb went off. They think there's some deaths and injuries, and they haven't, I mean, it just literally happened, so they haven't been able to trace it to anything at this point, but the bomb exploded. Remember, it's during the day on Friday in Peshawar, so they're trying to sort it out, meaning when I say they are, the authorities there are the terrorist experts and the local cops. If we get any information, of course, we will pass that on to you, obviously. And the big news, speaking of the Middle East, is Afghanistan and the fact that it's looking more and more like a runoff election is likely. A UN panel, in fact, could release its findings on voter fraud in the Afghanistan presidential election maybe this Saturday. They think they're going to be able to do it by Saturday. It looks like President Hamid Karzai's lead has dwindled as they've done this investigation, and they're looking for a possible runoff with the challenger Abdullah Abdullah, which could change things in Afghanistan as far as the strategy is concerned, because now, you know, President Obama is said by the end of October, or he has said, that there will be a strategy in place and whether or not the troop increases or whatever. But now there's a good chance that this could be postponed somewhat because you won't have a government in place, and, you know, that makes a huge difference. Here's a quick follow-up story that I wanted to hit to everybody, because a couple of you actually sent me emails on this. I only mentioned it once, but you had three hikers that were missing in a place called Kings Canyon National Park. It's in Central California. The good news is that the hikers were found and they were safe. They were rescued after being spotted by a helicopter earlier in the day. They were missing since Monday night. They were picked up on Thursday afternoon. Ooh, that's a long time. It was three guys, and they started their six-day, 65-mile hike at a trail on October 7th, and they were planning to hike, they say, to elevations as high as 14,000 feet. So lucky for them, the helicopter spotted them, and there's a good ending to this story, because the longer the days went by, the more it seemed as though something could have happened to them. You know, who knows what, an encounter with a bear, something else happening. But this story ends up pretty good, and that's nice. The boy that was thought to be lost in the balloon was found hiding at home. This is a huge story because all the news stations were following it. Now they want to know if it's a hoax, trying to determine if that's what the case is. There was an experimental craft. It looked like a giant mushroom, actually, to me, and it got untethered at the Fort Collins, Colorado home of Richard Henney and his family. The youngest boy, or one of the youngest boys, who's 6 years old, they thought he was in the balloon, and everybody was following it, meaning all the cable stations, wall to wall, like it was a Los Angeles car chase. And apparently he got upset with his father and went and hid, so he wasn't in the balloon. Now you had all these response teams. You had ambulance, you had fire trucks, you had helicopters. The balloon ended up going down about 15 miles outside of the Denver International Airport, the sort of flying saucer-looking helium balloon craft. And, I mean, what a trip that it ended up taking. And with all these people responding, a lot are asking the question, is it a possibility this was a hoax? Because the family had appeared on Wife Swap, apparently, a couple of times, so they were publicity seekers, and was this some kind of a weird publicity deal? They'll have to delve further into that, but they will, because of all the emergency response. I mean, that's eating up a lot of money and time of those people. All right, we switch from that to going to the movies. Perhaps, like I already said, you might go to this kids flick, Where the Wild Things Are.
I'm KW.
I'm Max.
So what's your story? Why'd you come here?
Well, I'm an explorer, and I traveled a lot.
Mm.
And I travel by sea.
Right.
I used to travel by air.
So obviously you have no home or family.
I have one of those, but
you ate them all?
No. No, I just bit one of them, that's all, and I went crazy. And I don't like frozen corn.
Sorry. That's why you left.
Heck, I'm a bad person.
Well, are you?
I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you came. It'll be good to have someone around who doesn't eat everybody. I mean, you just bite everyone. But biters aren't so bad. Eaters are the ones I just can't stand.
I have no plans to eat anybody.
All right. Good. Good night.
All right, you might recognize some of the voices in this one. Lauren Ambrose is in it. Catherine Keener is in it. And the story is about Max, a sensitive boy who feels misunderstood at home, escapes to where the wild things are, lands on an island. You know, if you know the book, he meets a strange creature whose emotions are wild and unpredictable, and they hang out together. And ultimately, that's the deal. Max is crowned king, and he's going to create a special haven. It's an hour and 34 minutes, which is good for kids, attention span-wise, because, you know, there's going to be previews and stuff. And it actually looks to be like a pretty good movie. I think it's a foregone conclusion that this Warner Brothers flick is going to be probably the top draw at the box office. Now, there is another movie that's getting a lot of airtime trailer-wise. You might have seen some of the clips already. And one of the stars of it is Gerard Butler. The movie is Law Abiding Citizens.
Did you murder Clarence Darby?
I wanted him dead.
Rupert Ames, did you murder him as well?
Rupert Ames deserved to die. They both deserved to die.
So you arranged both of those murders?
Yes, I planned it in my head over and over again. It took me a long time.
I guess we're done here.
Counselor.
We're done here. We have your confession.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, on tape.
Oh, really? I don't think so. Let's think back. What did I say? That I wanted to kill Clarence Darby? That both Darby and Ames deserved to die? That I planned it over and over again in my head?
We know you did it.
Well, it's not what you know. It's what you can prove in court.
Okay, so Law-Abiding Citizen, you can sort of guess what that's about. You heard some of the exchange there. Clyde Shelton, family man, wife and daughter brutally murdered during a home invasion. The killers are caught, and a prosecutor is assigned to the case. He is forced by his boss to offer one of the subjects a lighter sentence in exchange for his testimony, so you can see where the bitterness would come in. Now, this movie is a long one. It's two hours, 2 minutes to be exact. It's R-rated. Jamie Foxx is another one of the big stars in this movie. But this probably will be a good rental down the road, so you might not have to rush out and get it. All right, here's another movie that's opening that I think some people will go and see. It's almost a play off of a similar thing that was done maybe 20 years ago, and it's called The Stepfather.
There we go. Now, don't let your mom know I've got a tequila stash. Worked my ass off trying to convince her I'm perfect.
I know this must be a bit of a shock. Mom and me getting married and all, but I want you to know. I want us to be a real family.
Because without it, we have nothing.
Oh,
Okay. Touché. So I get a little corny sometimes. I meant what I said. You just let me handle your mother, and I'm going to make sure you stay right here, where you belong. No more military school. We're going to put this family back together, you and me, father and son. Stepfather. Stepfather. And son.
Okay, so you get this here, stepfather and son, stepfather and son. He's just trying to get in there, and he's trying to turn the kid. The kid realizes that something's wrong, that he's not really the perfect guy. Good news on this one, if you like kind of the suspense movies, it's just an hour and 41 minutes long, PG-13, too. Celia Ward is in it. You might recognize her from Television Days. Sherry Stringfield is in it as well. And it, like I said, is less than 2 hours. There's something to be said for that. After you start to sit at the movie theater too long, boy, it has to be a really good flick to keep my attention. Now, football game, no problem. Movie, I like to go to the movies, start to get a little antsy if the movie drags on. Speaking of dragging on, we're dragging you into the last segment, and we're going to serve up this day in history. There are 76 days left in the year. Do you believe it's October 16th? I'll hit some of the highlights, also news you can abuse, and of course birthdays as well to play us out here on ATN.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQ. AirAndAqua.com or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
You're doing this with
everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We have more information on a big breaking story. Pakistani police say the bomb exploded at a police station in the northwestern city of Peshawar, killing at least seven people on Friday. It went off specifically at a building where they hold criminals and various militants and whatnot for questioning. So they also know that a mosque was hit as well and injured some people, and there's people trapped under debris. At least seven people are dead. There could be many others. They have to go through the stuff that fell down, obviously, off the mosque, et cetera, and they know that people are trapped, so hopefully they can get those people out. Now, this is an area, obviously, it's a mainstay of the Taliban, that frontier there, that west frontier province. It's been hit by a ton of attacks in recent years, including one bomb attack, another bomb attack the other day that killed a child. So this isn't something that hasn't happened there in the past. In fact, this attack is the latest pretty much in these militant strikes that have killed about 150 people in Pakistan over the last 2 weeks. So very sad there. Bomb explosion, seven dead, could be children. They're trying to sort it out right now. Let's move from that to a much, much lighter thing. News you can abuse. Hopefully you'll get a chuckle out of some of this. Take you to Little Rock, Arkansas and Columbus, Ohio. Let's go to Little Rock, Arkansas first. He lost his wallet in what would normally be considered a robber's mistake. Trying to get it back was an even bigger blunder. Police in Little Rock reported 23-year-old Corvesi Martezi Riley dropped his wallet when he was trying to rob a house. So when police were interviewing the victim, they say Riley called wanting to get his wallet returned. So he told the victim to bring the wallet to a service station, and of course that's where they found the suspect. Hello, gotta let that wallet fly if you're gonna drop it when you're robbing a house. Columbus, Ohio. An Ohio church's fundraiser is anything but what you would call a smashing success. The cops are now looking for the vandals who smashed pumpkins on the lawn at the Fellowship Lutheran Church in Columbus. Ooh, that's such a no-no anymore. It used to be you could soap windows, throw pumpkins and all that stuff. Not now. The church says it looks like dozens of gourds got clobbered with a golf club, but the pumpkin attack might not be a total loss. The pastor says people are still sending contributions. The clergyman adds, one donor says it's like buying invisible pumpkins. All right, there you go. So turning, what is it? When life hands you lemons, you make lemonade. Billings, Montana. There's sort of an art to snowboarding. I think you just have to be good at it. And then there's art on the snowboards themselves. Check this out. Ryan Farnes is making a business really of both. A former major leaguer, he's now a co-owner of the California-based snowboard company, a California-based snowboard company, and a recent convert to the winter sports. He also designed the graphics on the first three boards, including one which has a New Orleans scene. Not a city known for its ski slopes and a long way from his boyhood home in Billings. He takes a little creative license in designing the snowboards and says he'd like to think of his boards as something you could hang in an art gallery. So he fancies himself really an artist more than anything. How about this from New York? New York Mayor Bloomberg wants to enlist an army of flu fighters. Health officials in Fun City are signing up some 800 volunteers to help spread the word about how not to spread the flu. The flu fighters will be battling both swine and seasonal flu. They'll help manage the expected crowds at the vaccination centers around the city. The New York flu fighters also distribute posters and brochures. I wonder if they pay you to do that. Hello, I'm a flu fighter. I'd say go away. I'm not rolling up my sleeve. Forget about it. All right, let's move from that to this day in history, then we'll jump to birthdays. It is October 16th, as I mentioned before. Remember, way back when, in 1793, during the French Revolution, Marie Antoinette, the Queen of France, was beheaded. If we go to 1909, the Pirates won the World Series, defeating the Tigers at Bennett Park in Game 7. In 1916, here's a name some of you should remember, Margaret Sanger opened the first birth control clinic. It happened in Brooklyn. It ended up being raided by the police, and she was arrested. In 1959, American military leader and statesman George Marshall died in D.C. He was 78 years old. In 62, on this day, the Cuban Missile Crisis began. As President John F. Kennedy was informed that reconnaissance photographs had revealed the presence of missile bases in Cuba. In 68, American athletes Tommy Smith and John Carlos sparked controversy at the Mexico City Games by giving black power salutes during a victory ceremony after they'd won gold and bronze medals in the 200-meter race. Interesting moment. A couple of years ago, they were honored by ESPN. And for those ESPYs that they give out, and they told the whole story, and they've had some rough things happen to them in their lives, and partly, at least when they came back from the games, because of what happened at those games. In 1969, the New York Mets capped their miracle season. They won the World Series, defeating the Baltimore Orioles 5-3 in Game 5, played at Shea Stadium. The great Nolan Ryan, who pitched 7 no-hitters, a Hall of Famer naturally, won only one World Series in his career, and guess what? It was with the New York Mets. In 1969. In 1991, a deadly shooting rampage took place in Killeen, Texas. A guy named George Hennard opened fire at a Luby's, killing 23 people before taking his own life. I remember that because I remember talking to a woman later who said, many years later, who said, if only I had had my gun with me, I would have had clear shots, and 23 people certainly was a lot. That was a terrible, terrible thing. So 1 year ago, Wall Street pulled off another stunning U-turn, transforming a 380-point loss for the Dow Jones Industrial Average into a 401-point gain. Now we're seeing the stock market rise above again. You know, it's that ebb and flow. It is gambling, right? So you get the highs and the lows when you don't get out with something, you know, you get into something and it's good and it's rising steadily or whatever, and then you do not get out on time. Boy, it's a little bit tough. Maestro, could you cue up the birthday music, please?
Any birthday singers? Come on, people, we need birthday singers!
All right, birthday celebrations all around the world. I think you're going to recognize a bunch of the names on this list. Actress Angela Lansbury, 84 years old, famous for Murder, She Wrote. Suzanne Summers, famous for The Pitch Woman for Everything, and then she was also on a very famous Three's Company, and for like just a season, though, and then all that controversy started. But anyway, she's gone on to a great career doing other things, so 63. Bob Weir from The Dead, rock singer, musician, 62 years old. How about this? Actor-producer Tony Anthony is 72 years old. Sportscaster Tim McCarver, I know you know him if you watch sports, is 68 years old. Flea, the rocker from Red Hot Chili Peppers, is 47 years old. Terry Vaughn, an actress, is 40 years old. Singer Wendy Wilson from Wilson Phillips is 40. Actress Kelly Martin is 34. Singer John Mayer is 32 years old. Jeremy Jackson, an actor, is 29 years old. Also celebrating a birthday, rapper B-Rock, member from B-Rock and the Biz, is 38 years old. Also pretty famous. Celebrating birthday, producer-director David Zucker is 62 years old. Bachman Turner Overdrive, rocker C.F. Turner is 66, and Barry Corbin is 69. I like him. He's a very, very funny guy. Happy birthday if you're celebrating a birthday from all of us here at ATN.
Computer. Execute complete shutdown of the holodeck.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
You're gonna do what?
Power down and disengage.
Time to go home now.
Going home,
too. I'll be back.
It's been fun working with you.
I quit.
7 years of college down the drain.
Game over, man.
And now for something completely different.